And this is the Inner Side Radio Program with me, Scooter. And we're going to be live on KPFT Houston tonight. I'm going to be in the studio with Glenn Urbach. He's going to be back in a minute. We're going to have a clip from the Jimmy Dore Show to open up. Jimmy Dore Show is from Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles. And you can hear it at jimmydorecomedy.com. He's going to be featuring Brian Fisher from that reputable vanguard of Dominionism, the American Family Association. And we're going to stay with the Brian Fisher and hear what the American Family Association has to say on the recent Boy Scouts of America decision to lift the ban on gays. Then we'll get the conservative brain exploding on women breadwinners. Oh, my God. In American households, as a sign of the end times.
Okay, in today's Oh My God segment, you know Brian Fisher, friend of the show. And here's how he feels about gays, by the way. This is what he says about gays.
Time a homosexual exercises any sort of selectivity at all when it comes to intimate matters, he is proving that it's a matter of choice. Nobody's compelled to follow those impulses. Now, it's interesting, you know, I was struck by the phrase...
Now, anybody who says that being gay or homosexual impulses are a matter of choice is someone who's actively suppressing their own homosexual impulses, right? There's no doubt about that, right?
If it were a matter of choice, I mean, who would choose disco?
Is that a callback, Jim?
There you go. I remember when I was a kid, I was like, do I really want to watch Dance Fever with Danny Terrio? Or do I want to go to prom? Which one do I want to do?
You know, Jimmy, it's Moose and Squirrel, not Moose and Steve.
I love those Steve jokes. So here, he's got a little bit more to say this
Philippians
time.
Philippians 3:19, they glory in their shame.
In their shame. Their gayness is the
they
shame.
They glory in their shame. They celebrate, they honor, they pride in things that ought to be matters of shame for human sexuality. But now you have the President of the United States openly celebrating sexual deviancy, behavior, sexual behavior that we know is a perversion and a form of deviance in God's eyes.
Okay, so there is our friend Fisher. And now he went on with Alan Combs. Now, he used to be the better half of Sean Hannity and Combs. God bless him, Alan Combs. Go get him, Alan.
You also say, Brian, that because gays are selective when it comes to intimate matters, that proves that it's a matter of choice whether you're gay or straight. So simply because you're selective who you might have sex with, because you choose within a particular gender who you're attracted to, that means you could be attracted to either gender?
No, it just demonstrates that people are not obligated to act on every sexual impulse that they experience.
Well, have you ever had a gay impulse?
Alan, I'm not going to talk about that.
No, that's exactly what a straight guy would say, right? Mm-hmm. That's a guy, hey, have you ever had a gay impulse?
The first thing a straight guy would say is, well, I'm not straight. I just don't like gays. But he would say, I'm straight.
Yes.
I just don't.
Yeah, here we
wonder,
go.
I mean, I'm just wondering.
Alan,
because,
I'm not going to go there.
But you talk about other...
What does that mean, I'm not going
to
go? How is that?
To the bathhouse.
So when you say, I'm not going to go there, that is... What you're saying is, yes, of course I've had gay impulses, because if I didn't, I would say I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, give it a rest,
that's a simple yes or no question.
We're not going to talk about
because
that.
Maybe if you've been able to overcome your gay impulses, and you've been successful to do it, you could be a model for other people who you'd like to see act the same way.
The focus here, Alan, is that everybody experiences sexual impulses, that if they acted on those impulses, it would destroy them.
Well, could you give me an example from your own life? Like, what would be some of yours?
You've experienced them.
I have.
I've experienced them. Every man, every woman has experienced certain sexual impulses that if they acted on them, if they conducted themselves by yielding to those impulses, would destroy them. Ask Tiger Woods about that.
Yeah, you remember how Tiger Woods destroyed himself, right? He's destroyed now. I don't know if you noticed, he doesn't have any girlfriends or money. He's not winning tournaments. He's destroyed. Oh, I'm sorry. He has all those things. He's exactly the same guy he was, except he got rid of that old battle axe he was hanging around with.
Plus, he's straight, so it's completely irrelevant.
Barely has $200 million in the bank.
Barely. He barely has $200 million. What are you going to – how is he going to keep warm?
He's hanging on.
How's he going – where's he going to eat?
No one's destroyed. What are you talking about?
Doogie Howser seems pretty good. He doesn't. Yeah. He seems pretty tight.
I don't think I've ever had sexual impulses that would destroy the society or the culture or make me a deviant in some way. I mean, I honestly don't think that's ever happened, even in your eyes. But so I'm surprised, but I wonder what impulses you're talking about. If you've had them, I'd love to know what they are.
Well, the focus, Alan, is on sexual conduct, sexual behavior, not on sexual impulse. That's what the focus is.
So you won't tell me whether you've yourself been able to overcome a gay impulse.
Alan, give it a rest.
Yeah. How is that, again, how is that any kind of comeback? Just say yes and get it over with. Mm-hmm. It makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we're not talking about impulses. What?
You should just know that you have destroyed our society if you've ever been nominated for a Tony Award.
Yes.
That's fun. That's from the Jimmy Dore Show on KPFK.
Alan Combs actually being somewhat funny?
Well, no, he nailed him on that.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think since he got away from Hannity, he got interrupted all the time.
Poor Alan Combs.
So we're going to stick with the American. By the way, the Jimmy Dore Show, as far as a panel show on the radio, it's the best. Mm-hmm. It is the best in the country right now. We're going to stick with the American Family Association. Here's a background on this wonderful American organization. And by the way, this is an old school moral majority outfit, which dates back to the beginning of the movement to corrupt the Republican Party. Like, that was hard. When Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson began politicizing the fundamentalist Christian folks. And there's always been an evangelical movement in the United States, but it was not a political movement until this moral majority movement. There was Billy Graham and the Crusades, the Billy Graham Crusades, and Billy Graham would always hang around with Nixon or Johnson or whoever was in power.
Right.
But he did not take stances on issues, nor did he actually try to change policy.
Yeah.
He just was kind of hanging around with the big guys.
He was like the everyone's spiritual guidance counselor.
Exactly. If there was a war going on, he was for it. You know, we're on God's side. If the peace going on, he was for that. He was essentially hanging around with those guys to provide momentum for his own movement, which was doing very well. But there was an idea in the Christian evangelical movement, which dates back from its beginning, that their kingdom is in heaven. And getting involved in political movements on planet Earth would be a betrayal of that idea that, look, our kingdom is in heaven. This stuff that goes on here doesn't matter. And it's all very, very corrupt. So, in other words, there's a Christian morality that does not corrupt itself by getting involved in the politics of the Earth.
Right.
And that was all the way until the 70s, the late 70s and the early 80s, when this moral majority movement started. Jerry Falwell was at the head of it. Pat Robertson jumped on later. The American Family
Association.
They are the current embodiment of it. Founded in 1977 by Donald Wildman as the National Federation for Decency, headquartered in Tupelo, Mississippi, listed as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center as of 2010. For the propagation of known falsehoods and the use of demonizing propaganda against LGBT people. Now, here's the big thing. The American Family Radio, this is not a small deal.
No.
They have more stations than Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
American Family Radio is a network of approximately 200 AFA-owned. They own 200 radio stations. This is not like having affiliates.
It's like Clear Channel.
They own 200 radio stations.
It's Clear Channel.
Broadcasting Christian-oriented radio programming. So here's from the American Family Radio from last week. It's Brian Fisher on the Boy Scouts.
Hold on. Now you got to tell people who Brian Fisher is.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's the guy that's on the radio.
Yeah, but
he's very big spokesman for him. Brian Fisher.
Brian Fisher. He has his own radio program. He's from American Family Association.
Right.
It's broadcast daily, like Limbaugh's show, on hundreds of stations, and you know, he's always in the news because he's always making some outrageous comment.
Yeah.
And here's probably another one.
Yeah, like we were covering in the last clip. So,
got it.
All right, here we go.
We might as well rename this organization now. BSA no longer stands for the Boy Scouts of America. It now stands for the Boy Sodomizers of America, because that is exactly what is going to happen. The infamous crime against nature now is going to be, it's been normalized, it's been endorsed, it's been embraced now by scouting leadership.
This is the old conflation of pedophilia with homosexuality.
Right.
I mean, nothing new here.
This is a sobering word for the Boy Scouts of America from Luke chapter 17.
Luke.
These are the words of
Luke.
Jesus himself.
From the real McCoys.
To the Boy Scouts. And pretty sobering because this comes from Christ himself.
Oh, this is it. This is it.
Right. Okay, everyone pay attention.
Yeah, this is it.
It's from the big man.
We have a tape.
We got it.
We have a tape right here. We're going to hear Jesus right
Jesus
now.
Jesus right now.
Oh, here we go.
Temptations to sin.
That sounds like the same guy.
It almost does.
I know. Maybe he's reading a quote from a book.
And Jesus sounds surprisingly old for a guy who died so young.
He did.
Go ahead.
Men are sure to come, but woe.
Oh, sure to come.
Woe, woe.
Woe.
To the one through whom they come.
Whoa.
It would be better for
Jesus.
Him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to stumble. I would not want to be in the shoes of a Boy Scout executive standing before the throne of God being judged by the man who spoke those words. By the God who spoke those words.
I almost feel sorry for the Boy Scout.
A pretty picture.
The Boy Scout leadership. I mean, how many weird images could you put in somebody's head at one time? The whoa, whoa, whoa for the one who comes and standing on the throne with it. Oh, my goodness.
I don't understand. How would Jesus convort with criminals and prostitutes and bring those people into the fold, but yet have such a problem with gay Americans or gay anybody?
I know, especially since the guy hung out with sailors who went out to sea, for a long time. And
why would Jesus have a
problem? I was a sailor, and there was always a couple guys in the back.
I think about these guys, these Brian guys. Look, don't get it twisted, my friend. You've got the problem with the gays. Jesus does not.
Now, as far as we know.
As far as we know.
Yeah, yeah. Neither did King Arthur, by the way.
That's right.
Or Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen what he wears?
Yeah, that's right. Look at Spider-Man's tights. Come on. Spider-Man, Jesus. They're all pretty. All these characters, they have a couple things in common. They're all fictitious, and none of them have a problem with gay people.
And they both have really, really, really ripped bodies.
That's right.
Their tone.
Their tone.
They look good.
Okay, so as you know, nothing makes fundamentalist Christians like this ass clown angrier than other Christians who don't agree with them, which is why we needed the First Amendment, so they wouldn't have wars all the time like they did in Europe. So here's why the Mormons didn't oppose the Boy Scouts, according to the American Family Association. And this makes perfect sense. This is, you will not be able to sell this logic. So here we go.
And trying to understand why the LDS Church has gone soft on the homosexual agenda. They've gone soft on the homosexual agenda. It's very clear, if you look at the social trends right now, that as the homosexual agenda advances, the next domino to fall is going to be the ban against polygamy.
I thought it was going to be bestiality.
That's what I had my money on.
I know, bestiality. Absolutely.
I thought it was going to be man marrying dog.
That's it. Because, I mean, well, that's been they changed.
He threw us a curveball.
That's it. So here we go. Not men marrying dogs, not men marrying their horse, but men marrying more women.
The ban against plural marriages.
Yeah, we know it.
So this is the next push for the homosexual movement.
Thrust.
And the LDS leadership, these people are smart, they're sharp, they're thinking all the time.
Yeah.
And I believe that one of the reasons they may have gone soft on the homosexual agenda is that they believe that the homosexual agenda may be the secret to restoring polygamy to America. And this would vindicate Mormon doctrine from the very beginning. Joseph Smith, remember, this goes all the way back to the founder of the LDS Church.
He took the wind out of my sails.
Yeah, again, I love how he extrapolates gay marriage with now the Mormon Church, which is one of the most conservative, regressive institutions of religion out there.
It's competition. It's competition with his craziness.
Well, and you know, it's the whole, oh, like the light bulb went off in the Mormon church. Oh, my God, don't tell anybody. If they legalize gay marriage, guess what? We'll get to marry 50 women.
Yeah, right. But the whole polygamy thing goes all the way back to the Old Testament. It's everywhere.
Right.
And so these Bible literists,
right,
literalists,
exactly.
The only way that he could contest this is based on the fact that these guys are the competition, which they are, by the way. The Mormons do recruit, and they are a threat to the evangelicals because, I mean, there's only so many kooks around.
Yeah, but I still wager there's a lot more evangelicals than there are Mormons. If I was him, I wouldn't be worried about that.
I know, but these guys hate each other more than they hate us.
You think so?
There's never been wars where atheists are rounded up and persecuted like there are Lutherans killing Catholics.
Invading Anglicans, and everybody hates the Jews.
I mean, that's how these dumbasses got here, because
right,
the English kicked them out. They weren't. I don't remember anybody rounding up and hanging atheists.
No.
We've always been out of it. They like fighting each other.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So I mean that's and I'm sure the Mormons did not support the Boy Scouts on this. They just didn't say anything.
Exactly. Yeah. They didn't want to fight that fight. They're not obsessed with homosexuality like this joker is. That's the problem. Because, you know, even, I don't say the Mormon church is changing because I don't think they really are. But again, for guys like this joker, I mean, he just can't accept the fact the world is changing in a way that he just disagrees with.
Well, let's go on to how the world is changing next and why might be a bigger threat to our manliness than homosexuals.
What would that be?
The women's.
Ooh.
Let's go on to
I can vouch for that.
Yeah.
Now, I am going to say something here, and I don't care that it's politically incorrect. And I know if
right-wing
watch picks up on this or anybody else, they're just going to lacerate me for this. I don't care.
Yeah, okay.
From a biblical standpoint,
yes, yeah,
it's very clear that men are designed to be the breadwinners for their families.
Absolutely.
That's the way God set it up.
That's the way he set it up.
Husbands are to use their stamina and their strength.
Okay. It has been scientifically proven and has been known for a long time that men are a lot stronger physically than women.
Mm-hmm.
And women have a hell of a lot more stamina than men. It is absolutely scientifically proven. And I have taken 5-mile hikes in hill countries with women. And you have to wait for the little ladies to catch up with you for about the first hour and a half. But when it comes to the fourth or the fifth hour, you're the one going,
you're the one gassed.
That's it. I mean, it is and when was the biggest industrial output of the United States ever? World War II. When they converted that thing over to just acres and acres of war machines everywhere, all made by?
Women.
Women, that's right. And the fact is that women can go into factories and work these mind-killing, grudging, hard jobs and stay with them for 10 or 12 hours when men are basically just out of gas. That is scientifically proven. I mean, women have the stamina, men have the strength. We're the sprinters. They're the long-distance runners. So anyway, that does happen to be a fact. You can look it up. But let's go on. He has more to say.
And their brain power, not that they're smarter than women. I'm not saying that. But God's given them a brain. And the purpose for using their mental ability is to provide for their families, to use their physical strength to work hard, to work long hours, to use their physical strength to protect their wives and protect their children, and
they're
be
doing great
providers.
Job. For them.
That is the biblical pattern.
And the biblical pattern. They live out in the woods or something? Most men and women and families, well, they live in how to protect their children. What is this? The 16th century? you're surrounded by Indians and bears? What the hell are you talking? What century do you live in?
And they always fought those Indians off hand-to-hand with their bare hands and their muscles.
You, honey, you cook. Me kill. You
a
cook.
A wife and a mother to focus her energies, devote her energies on making a home for her children and for her husband. And there's another problem is the number of married mothers who out-earn their husbands.
Oh.
That number has quadrupled. And I,
scandalous.
And again, I'm going to be politically incorrect here. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think it's a healthy dynamic to have a wife out-earn her husband, because so much of his sense of worth as a male is tied up in what he does vocationally and providing for his family. That's his calling. It's not his wife's job to provide for his family. He knows that it's his job.
See, I thought,
and if he has a wife that out-earns him, I think that's going to put some stress on his psyche. It's going to put some stress on that marriage.
It's almost a shame that that has truth to it.
It's almost
the male ego.
What century does this guy live in?
I not this one.
I mean, if you're concerned about what men and women make, fine. Advocate for livable wages. Advocate for true salaries that are proportioned to people's work. Not the structure we have in America, where the average CEO makes 400 times more than the average worker. If you're so worried about what men make, take up that cause. He's worried about women making more money? Well, tell that to the family where the woman makes more money. Honey, quit your job. We'll make less money with me working but that's okay.
I can boss around.
Right. We don't want to screw up 2,000 years of biblical BS. We don't want to mess with that, honey.
Or patriarchy in general.
If the mortgage company has a problem with that, tell them to read the Bible.
Right. Just
if the kids' schools have a problem with us paying the tuition, throw them out a Bible verse, honey.
You know who gets worse on this subject than this idiot?
Is there someone worse?
Yes.
Really?
Fox News.
Oh, there you go. Fox News. Yeah, I heard about this.
Lou Dubs.
Yeah, Lou Dubs and Juan Williams.
Juan Williams, that's right. That's the turn, the switch hitter.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Switch hitter. I didn't want to call him a token because of my tone races.
That's a good one, Scooter.
Okay, so they're coming up next.
All right, Fox News.
And then this is even better, Greg.
I want to do something we don't usually do. I want to turn to a study and Pew Research showing that women have become the breadwinners in this country and a lot of other concerning and troubling statistics. But our society is being torn in so many directions right now. Stuff is really at the margin when you watch the Republicans and the Democrats, this president, his scandals, and the appropriate investigation by the Republicans. When we're watching society dissolve around us, what do you think?
Society's end times. This should be in large letters on the front page of every newspaper in America, because what we're seeing with 4 out of 10 families now, the woman is the primary breadwinner. You're seeing the disintegration of marriage. You're seeing men who were hard hit by the economic recession in ways that women weren't. But you're seeing, I think, systemically, larger than the political stories that we follow every day, something going terribly wrong in American society.
Okay. What's wrong with the statistic? There are 4 out of 10 families.
Where the
woman makes more money.
Majority of families, the men's breadwinner.
I would say that if this was an honest statistic, which it isn't, that, we only have 10% more to go.
Yeah, there you go.
To reach equality.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's the other way.
But this is a BS statistic, because what does, first of all, when it leaves out single men, they're not even in the statistic.
Right.
You have to be in the family to make less than the woman.
Right.
Okay. So you can be divorced and making the big bucks. You're not in that statistic. Also, there is no competition between the salary of an unmarried man and a single mother.
Right.
Okay, and what is the and divorced families? The woman usually is still ahead of the family.
But
this
is
a complete BS.
Of course,
statistic.
And the bottom line: who cares who makes more money? If women are doing
I care who makes more money, because this is not true.
Well, I understand that. The fact of the matter is, and this is a fact: women get paid less money for doing the same job,
and they still
men.
Do.
They still do.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole Lilly Ledbetter Act. The bottom line is, I mean, that's the scandal. I mean, who cares what someone's gender is? It's the job they do and what they should be paid. And what they should be paid is comparable to what someone else is get paid for the same job, regardless of what's in their pants.
But So this study is completely skewed.
Of course.
They're leaving out like the ten other categories. It's total crap, and it's once again fear of women by complete conservative morons. We're in charge. Shut up. Go in there. Screw me and wash the dishes.
Something going terribly wrong in American society, and it's hurting our children, and it's going to have impact for generations to come. Left, right. I don't see how you can argue this.
And you mentioned children, and those are the children who survived. 54 million abortions since Roe v. Wade. 54 million in this country. What has been the impact of that?
I don't know, Lube Dobbs. It seems to me that the impact of that has to do with the whole subject that women, when they have access to reproductive rights, can make more money and be more productive and can compete with men. Am I missing something?
What does it say about our society? Our high school dropouts. Eric, your thoughts on this study and what it pretends.
Enough of this prognostication by pundits. Let's hear from esteemed scientist Eric Erickson.
Lou, I'm so used to liberals telling conservatives that they're anti-science, but I mean, this is liberals who defend this and say it's not a bad thing are very anti-science. When you look at biology, look at the natural world, the roles of a male and a female in society and other animals, the male typically is the dominant role, that the female, it's not antithesis or it's not competing, it's a complementary role. We as people in a smart society have lost the ability to have complementary relationships in nuclear families, and it's tearing us apart. What I find interesting in the survey is that three quarters of the people surveyed recognize that having moms as the primary breadwinner is bad for kids and bad for marriage. And reality shows us that's the truth.
Well, he has won the day on that. I have no comment. I've lost the argument.
Y'all be good.
Thanks for joining me, Glenn.
Hey, this is Scooter. We got a few phone calls during the program asking why you didn't cover the CNN Poodle Blitzer interview with a delightful Oklahoma atheist. Well, I also have a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. You can hear it from skeptals.com, and we covered it from every angle. Check it out. Skeptals.com. Skeptals is with a K. You've been listening to the Innerside Radio program with me, Scooter. This and all previous Innerside Radio programs can be heard online. Simply point your Google spyware or favorite search engine to the Innerside. Let's close the show with a tune that's older than me from the great Mighty Sparrow, a calypso innovator from Trinidad entitled Afraid Pussy Bite Me. And I'll see y'all next week.
Pussytail and pussycat on bees. Next morning was case for the police. Another friend they call him Moose. You know Moose, big Moose. Pussy pushytail in the nose. Even though some of them have no teeth, just watching them mouth I catch cold feet. I wanna take a drink of whiskey, I declare in war.